Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, well, there's really only one place to start, and that, of course, is with Donald Trump's extraordinary victory in the US presidential election. So it'll be President Trump in the White House from January 2017. The time, therefore, is surely right to hear from some of our regular guests, analysts and commentators to gauge their reaction to Wednesday's news and to consider in more detail what the election of Trump means. We'll consider the view from the US and from Europe, around the world indeed. We'll look at the impact, whether from a central bank perspective, in terms of investment strategy, or from the wider socio-political viewpoint. We start by exploring where this result, something of a seismic political shock, might have come from. Brian Klass is a fellow at London School of Economics and author of The Despot's Accomplice, How the West is Aiding and Abetting the Decline of Democracy. He talks about the failure of some establishment figures or groups to understand the pressures that some of the electorate have been subjected to.
Many coal miners in West Virginia who believe that Trump means that their jobs are just going to come back immediately are going to be sorely disappointed. And the question is, what do establishment politicians do to reach out to those people after populism has failed? This is the challenge that we have to ask, but I think that Clinton obviously should have reached out to these people much more and taken their concerns seriously. I mean, I think for a long time, people in the elite have looked at statistics like GDP growth, and they have seen steadily upward trends, and they have thought, we're on the right track. But that doesn't do anything for somebody whose sector is leaving. If you're 55 and you're only trained in coal mining, it's not like you're just going to get a job in Silicon Valley, right? The new jobs of globalization are good, but they're bad for people who have lost their jobs and don't have easy transferability to new sectors. Mm. And that is something that the establishment really has ignored. And this is something that across Britain, France, the United States, establishment politicians need to wake up to economic inequality and take solutions seriously that involve people that don't have easy job retraining or can't just jump on the bus of globalization and get on with it.
Michael Goldfarb, the journalist, author, and broadcaster, picks up on this theme, talking about the so-called US Rust Belt and the economic deprivation that's been a driver to get us to where we are with states like Ohio, Michigan, turning for Trump.
People who've never been to the Great Lakes area, to the what they call the Rust Belt, have no idea what it's like to watch ruins created, ruins of a civilization as they emerge. And the deprivation, economic, mm-hmm. social, educational deprivation that exists in these once great manufacturing places. Now, let's be clear, a lot of people split. They split in the 70s, they split in the 80s. Every time there was a new wave of either, you know, bad economic news, new robotics, factories shut down. People, this is America. You don't get to sit too much. You have to go somewhere else and get a job, and people do. But not everyone gets to go.
The former Greek finance minister Yanis Varoufakis was pretty unequivocal when it came to summarizing his feelings as news of Trump's victory at the ballot box sunk in.
My heart and mind is full of fear. Let me be blunt. 2008 was our generation's 1929, the collapse of Wall Street, the Great Recession, which in parts of Europe at least has become a Great Depression. And what happened after that in early 1930s, we had a period of populism, that fueled the misanthropy, and I'm very much afraid that we're having precisely the same. Passion is returning to politics after a period of the great moderation and all those illusions. But I'm, as a progressive, I feel that, and I fear that passion is returning in a very toxic way. It is fueling a kind of populism which we haven't seen since Benito Mussolini's time.
Angus Grigg of the Australian Financial Review brought us up to speed with the view from Shanghai and of the Asian markets in the immediate aftermath of Trump's success.
People are very worried about that in the longer term, what a Trump presidency would mean is inflation, and that we may see, therefore, the Fed and other central banks around the world being forced to hike interest rates. So in the short term, people are excited about the opportunities for growth from infrastructure spending, but in the longer term, worries about inflation and higher interest rates, because Donald Trump said that he's going to slap tariffs on Chinese goods and things like that, which is inflationary, as well as sort of running bigger federal government deficits in the US is also inflationary. people talking about a sort of December rate rise in the US have probably backed off from that. And although I've seen some commentary saying exactly the opposite, that given the markets seem to have settled down, we may see a December rate rise. But I think the overriding thing is that maybe you won't see one in December, but you could see three or four rate rises from the Fed next year as they move to sort of get ahead of inflation. Now, remember, this is a huge change because, you know, 3 months ago we were worried about deflation. And so this is the effect that a change in the presidency can have.
Justin Waring in the US is an investment strategist at UBS Wealth Management. What were his initial reactions and how did he gauge the market view in the first 24 hours or so?
Well, the market seems to be torn between the potential negative impact from uncertainty around Trump's policies and the theoretically stimulative effects of his expansionary fiscal policy. He does want to impose massive tax cuts and spending increases that could theoretically accelerate growth and inflation. So it's been a little bit of a bipolar response. The Dow was down about 900 points in trading this morning and is now up over 100.
David Lefkowitz is a U.S. equity strategist for UBS. Now, we last heard from David back in August. He reminded us that the U.S. economy is bigger than any one man or one woman. Is he still happy with that analysis?
I think that's definitely still the case. I think what has changed is that we now have one party in control of the legislative and the executive branch. So that means that we're going to see more in the way of policy changes. And for now, the market is focusing on the reflationary aspects of those policy, of potential policies, lower taxes, higher spending on infrastructure and defense, and less regulation. And that's been the market verdict so far.
Dirk Effenberger in Zurich heads the cross-regional investment office at the UBS Wealth Management CIO. We asked Dirk what he reckons the key takeaways are from this week's result. Well, political events matter short term, but fundamentals remain more important in the long term, according to Dirk.
Political events clearly matter for markets, but probably more in the short term than in the long term. What matters more in the long term for the performance of asset prices are basically fundamentals like central bank policy, macro fundamentals, corporate earnings, which we expect to accelerate next year. So while I understood the initial market panic, I also understand that market recovered thereafter, although it was a bit of a surprise to see market recovering that fast.
And next up to Mark Haefeli, UBS Global Chief Investment Officer, who instructs us to focus when gauging reactions to Trump's success on central bank policy.
Well, I think for us, one of the consistent themes that has worked very well for our asset allocation and investment decisions is to kind of put the politics in the right perspective and really place the focus on what is going on with central bank policy and the levels of stimulus in the global economy and how different earnings stories are developing in different countries. And I think some of that began to play through very early in the process when Donald Trump began to speak and started to talk about fiscal stimulus. Because one of the things he did there was, in effect, create something of an alternative narrative where we're not looking to see more and more monetary stimulus, we're not looking to necessarily see more negative rates, but perhaps something of a pivot, at least the hope of a pivot, to more fiscal policy. And we've seen now financials reacting to that positively.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the markets and ponder how the kind of uncertainty and political volatility many are predicting will challenge and shape investment strategy. We talk about markets not liking volatility, uncertainty, unpredictability. But what do we expect from here? Despite the importance of fundamentals, we put it to Dirk Effenberger that it's going to be unpredictable for some time yet.
I absolutely agree. So we really have to see to what extent Trump will actually be able to pursue his initial ideas, right? So with respect to protectionism, with respect to tax policy, with respect to fiscal expansion and so on. So it really matters in the long run as well, and probably political uncertainty will weigh on markets for quite some time. What I think it matters more is within equity sectors. So it matters for energy, fact that it matters for financials, etc. I don't think it matters too much for the direction of where the market is going to. For this, I think the macro fundamentals and also central bank policy are more important, actually.
Volatility, uncertainty, these are the watchwords. So should we predict that Trump, for one, continues to be unpredictable? And what's the strategic challenge of that for Mark Haefeli and his colleagues?
I think that there is still room for monetary policy. I think that will continue. And that fiscal stimulus can be added to that mix in economies, certainly the United States. I think there's certainly scope for that in Europe as well. What is, I think, very interesting for us is that, you know, the U.S. is in a little bit of a different dynamic because they're perhaps in a position now to begin hiking rates. Since the U.S. economy is performing better, we believe that we will see earnings growth.
So market volatility-wise, what should we be expecting medium-term in David Lefkowitz's opinion? It's going to be unpredictable for some time, right?
I think if you look at what the markets were sort of keying off of, it seemed like the very initial reaction to the election was that markets did sell off. And then when Trump gave his victory speech, markets started to improve. And he hit on some of the comments in that speech that a lot of people can sort of agree on, and he avoided talking about some of the more contentious issues. So if he can continue to build on that credibility that he has earned over the last couple of days, markets may be more calm, but time will tell. We'll have to see who he appoints to key positions, how he ends up working with Congress. Those are going to be some of the key variables as we go over the next few weeks.
Now, we're an optimistic bunch here at Monocle. Even in straitened times, we tend to ask, where are the opportunities? And are they necessarily long side? Where are the openings? Mark Haefeli, again.
Well, I think that there is always opportunity. Sometimes that opportunity can be on the short side, not the long side. But one of the things that we're looking at, you know, we ask ourselves every day, what is the end game for the unprecedented monetary and fiscal stimulus that we've seen, the rapid shift in policies and electorates around the globe to kind of be anti-establishment? So we look at those things every day, and yet we also look at what is the most realistic outcome that policymakers take. And very often that can be to find a win-win compromise that makes the financial system and equities and other risk assets continue to perform, because they have managed to re-stimulate the economy somewhat since the financial crisis. And we think there are ways that benign path can continue no matter what the doomsayers say, although we have to listen to them, because certainly prices are higher now. The range of outcomes is wider, but there still is a optimistic path ahead. So I don't think you guys at Monocle are completely missing the mark.
Finally on the program, a last thought from David Lefkowitz. He cautions us to remember that the biggest immediate changes following Trump's success have been on inflation and on the growth outlook side.
The biggest change has really been on the inflation and growth outlook side. And I think, you know, we'll have to see when the rubber meets the road if any of the policy proposals that come down the pike actually achieve some of those or kind of meet those expectations. So I think this is just the opening lines of the first chapter of this book, and there's a lot more to be written. So I wouldn't necessarily draw a straight line between the initial market reaction and how markets will end up trading over the next several months.
And how best to reassure people when they feel these jitters, especially over politics, and with the rise of anti-establishment parties in Europe, whether in Italy, France, Germany, the Netherlands, potentially ahead? There are two key things to remember, according to Dirk Effenberger.
Diversification. So please diversify across assets and across regions. And that's obviously easier said than done, because just a few private clients really stick to this golden rule. So we don't give up highlighting the benefits of portfolio diversification. The second point, I think, is as important as the first one, is don't panic, aim at peaks of political turbulences or market turbulences. Stay invested, stick to your long-term plan. For example, now after the US election outcome, we have seen that Japanese investors sold Japanese equities quite a bit. The Nikkei sold off more than 5%, but just to recover by more than 7% the day after. So you may have missed one of the best days in Japanese equities if you sold the day before.
A final thought on what Trump's triumph means, and indeed on the meaning of these broader political shifts like Brexit and the rest, from Mark Haefeli.
Well, I would just say that the analysis of what this election means for U.S. politics will continue, as well as what Brexit and this Trump vote will mean for particularly, I think, NATO relations and U.S.-European relations. And for me, that's a very fascinating subject that I intend to follow very closely.
And that's Mark Haefeli bringing us to the end of this 110th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.